Hi, we are Ellen and Lauren. We are sisters, wives, mothers, veterans, and all-around DIYers living our best lives. Our families each have three kids between 4 and 18 years old.
On this podcast, we hope to help you learn to do what you can, where you are, and try not to sweat the rest. If you want to learn more about what we're discussing today, check out our show notes at wifestylehustle.com. You're listening to Wifestyle Hustle.
Creating a budget when you're homeschooling can be so helpful, but there are so many little things that you can do to help you stay within it. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the things we have done. Stop by our social media or send us an email with your ideas. We would love to share them in other episodes. All right, we're going to jump right in today. Hope you guys are doing well.
Tip number one, create your budget. Before you can do anything else, you have to figure out how much you have to spend on this endeavor. And this is something that I start looking at around the end of the school year. We end at the end of June here. And so I look at what I'm going to have to spend for the next year. And I actually start shopping before the end of the school year because a lot of people are getting rid of their old homeschool curriculum. At the end of the year, they'll have a little sale or, you know, they'll throw it out on the Facebook page. And I try and buy at least some of my curriculum before the school year ends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm already looking at curriculum for next year. I found a great little used store in my neighborhood that is amazing.
How so?
She just has everything. It's a consignment store that is just all homeschool curriculum. So, and she also has books, like little kid readers and all the books that you read, like for literature class. She has all that kind of stuff. She has maps, clocks, all the like little peripheral things that you might need. Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm gonna just go and move in there.
Bring your kids.
So tip one and tip two kind of go together. For me, my first year homeschooling, I didn't budget at all. I was like, this is going to be way less than going to private school. So we don't really need to worry about any of that stuff. And I way overspent, I think, on some things. And I think it's so important too, to decide what counts as part of homeschool. So I think for me, piano lessons count as part of homeschool. That's their music. I don't really do any music with them, like besides just singing. But they're learning to read music at those lessons. They're learning to play music at those lessons. So that's definitely part of homeschool. But I'm not so sure about things like dance. That's an extracurricular that I feel like my child would have done anyway. So even if we were going to private school or public school, she'd still be doing that. So I don't know if I would count that in the homeschool budget.
Right.
But I do. I mean, it all ends up in the same place, so.
But for reporting purposes, and this is different from budgeting, but for reporting purposes, in some states, they do require you to report on a gym class. So your dance class would count for that.
Yeah.
Even if it doesn't count in your budget. So for us, if they were moving, it counted as gym class.
Exactly. Totally.
Because the state requires that of you, and my kids would have done all the stuff that they were doing that I was reporting as gym class. They would have done that whether they were in school or not in school. But if the state's going to make me say that this is gym class, fine. This is gym class.
Yeah, exactly. So for the budgeting, I think what I would do is start with the core subjects and see how much you need to spend on those things. So English, math, science, and history. And then for music, I can read music, and theoretically I could have taught my own children how to read music. I can temporarily move from one place to another. So having them go and play sports or do dance isn't necessarily something that I needed to spend money on. I could have done that. But for our budget, it worked for us.
Yep. And you are probably going to spend more money your first couple of years of homeschooling than you will spend the subsequent years. If you have kids in multiple grades, you're going to be buying curriculum for each grade along the way. But as you get into it a couple of years, your oldest kid's curriculum will then be able to be used on your second kid as they come on up through. So depending on how far apart your kids are, you won't be spending as much after a couple of years as you did in those beginning years. And to get started, it is honestly a little bit, it can be, I'm not going to say it is, it can be a little bit expensive. But if you're good at seeking out used curriculum and, you know, stuff like that, it doesn't have to be, but you probably will end up spending a little bit more regardless of how you, you know, accrue your curriculum than you do after a few years. So just keep that in mind. It won't always be so expensive. You won't always be spending as much as you do those first couple of years.
Mm-hmm. All right, moving on to tip number 3. I found this to be so important my first year homeschooling. Plan a time to spend in research. When I say this, I don't mean while you're sitting at the breakfast table with 3 screaming children and your husband who's trying to talk to you about something that's obviously important. No, you need to get away from all that so that you can think about what's going to work for you, what you can afford, and what is going to work for the kids. And be able, because there's so much out there, you can really feel like you're drowning in it. So you just need to be away and be able to think, which
definitely
you can't really do in the situation described above.
Yep, that is very important. And if you have to leave the house for an hour and go sit at the library with your computer, that is okay. Count that as me time too, which we do talk extensively on our podcast that me time is important. If that's what you have to do to get a little time away, then do it. And you know, your husband and kids will be just fine by themselves because you are still working for your family. You just need some quiet to think about how to handle it. And Lauren's right. There is so much out there. Homeschooling has just exploded in the last few years. And there's so much curriculum on every topic. And it's not all the same. And what works for one family may not work for another family. So you do need to spend time really assessing what will work best for your family. Tip number 4, be an active part of your community of homeschoolers. And this is, again, getting out of the house with your kids and finding a homeschool co-op and going to the library and just getting out and walking your community. There's so much going on out there. And homeschoolers are an extremely welcoming bunch. And it's so important to put yourself out there with homeschoolers and put yourself out there with, and not just homeschoolers, community members. I think that's one of the greatest things about homeschool is that your kids aren't locked in to a grade level and they have the opportunity to get exposure to all different kinds of people, all different ages, all different backgrounds. And there's just so much to learn out there and you just have to get out of the house and go do it. It's a fun community and important to be a part of it.
being immersed in that community is going to teach you about all the things that are available. People just mention offhandedly, like at our homeschool co-op the other day, someone mentioned this store and that it was going to be open at a particular time. And so I took myself there at that time, and I'm still excited about it. It was a really great thing. And I ran into several other moms there that I knew. So it was really nice. And moms will, and also in those circles, you'll come across moms who are graduating their children and no longer need something. And so they want to get rid of it, or they do need it, but not for a few years. So you'll be able to make exchanges. You'll save money by being part of these communities, not to mention all the mental capacity that they have for every homeschooler.
Yep.
Tip number 5, find used materials. There are so many books out there. And, you know, what I've noticed is in the last few years, many of the curriculums are going to consumable books. So all the information is actually in one single book. So the worksheets are all in one book, and the information that you're learning is all in one book. So you can only use it one time, and then you have to throw it away and buy a new curriculum. So that's something that you also need to keep in mind when you're making your purchases. But a lot of the brands still now, even making them now, will have a book, like a textbook, and then they'll also have a workbook. And, you know, obviously you throw away the workbook, but the textbook is good forever. And in the homeschooling community, it doesn't change. I bought a book of Saxon math for third grade. Yeah, third grade Saxon math that's like 15 years old. She's like, yeah, it hasn't changed in the last 30 years. I was like, okay, thank you. So, yeah.
And another money saver that I just thought of while Lauren was talking, if it is a consumable, like for instance, Osborne Books does a lot of not really curriculum, but they're consumable books that one in particular was a creative writing book that I used with my oldest when he was that age, when he was, I don't know, third or fourth grade. And then, but it was an expensive book and I didn't want him to write in it. So I had him just use a notebook with the book. He wrote down the page number of the book and worked through what was in the book without ever ruining the book. And then I used that same book again for my daughter. And now I will use it again for my third up and coming writer who can write her name, but nothing else yet. But
right.
She'll get there.
It's not easy when you're so little.
No, it isn't. She's 4. I'm happy she can write her name. But this keeps you from consuming expensive materials. Osborne Books are amazing, but they're costly. So the more use you can get out of them, the better. And when my youngest is done using it, I will probably sell it at a used book sale. So it makes the books usable for long term. And I learned that from another homeschooling mother who was graduating her kids. And I thought it was a really good tip. So I want to pass it on.
Yeah, it is. Tip number 6, about field trips. You can find so many places to take your kids outside the house that are absolutely free. The park, that's a field trip. Epic field trip if you can get other friends to come along. But you can also, a lot of places will give an educational discount if you say it's for school. And if you can figure out how to get a group to go with you, then it's even cheaper.
Yep. And there are Facebook groups, I'm guessing, for every area of homeschoolers who do field trips together. So they'll plan a field trip, let it go on their group, and invite other homeschoolers to join them so they can get a group rate. So if you're a homeschooler and you're new in an area, or you haven't connected with other homeschoolers in your area, look on Facebook and see if you can find a group that does it. Go to your library and ask there. Librarians are very knowledgeable, generally speaking, about homeschoolers and their activities, because homeschoolers use the library. So they might know of the group that you might be looking for. So ask at your library.
Tip number 7. So we kind of talked about this a little bit above, but after you have figured out all your core classes and the other things that are required by the state, I know that gym is required, music is required.
Art is required.
There's probably other stuff that says a lot about me that I can't remember right now. But anyway, after you figured out how much all of that's going to cost, then is when I would add in the extra stuff like sports. So for instance, this year my kid started playing basketball as well as soccer, which I just won't even go into for time reasons, but we added those on after we figured out that he can just use my daughter's curriculum for, like, so we know that we're saving money somewhere else, and we could add in that extra thing. And he really, really wanted to play. So yeah. And it wasn't that expensive. We also found a league that was, in my opinion, more appropriate for younger kids in the cost. He's an 8-year-old. I'm only willing to spend so much for a guy who's not ever going to be in the NBA. So yeah.
And if these things are financially not for you, and you know, we do keep going back to the state, so much can count for these things. Like, for instance, going back to art, you can fingerprint with your kids, and that's considered art. It doesn't have to be an official class. There's music appreciation. There are free music classes online. You know, you don't have to pay for piano or guitar lessons. A lot of times at a co-op, a homeschool co-op, there will be a music teacher, and you can take advantage of those music lessons without having to pay more for them. Sometimes they'll charge. We've been really fortunate in our co-op that there's almost always a music teacher who's willing to donate her time or his time. These things do not have to be official classes. And that, and you can save a lot of money by just taking this stuff on yourself. And there are free art lessons online. There's, you know, there's a ton of free stuff online that you can use to fill these gaps in these extracurriculars. So don't feel like you have to spend money in order to get this stuff, because you don't. You can get a lot of it for free online.
Totally.
Tip number 8. It doesn't hurt to check back on your spending a few times a year. I usually check back in before purchasing a new larger item halfway through the school year. I'll kind of look back and see how much I spent. After Christmas is a really good time to do this. And a note on Christmas, you can make some of the more fun homeschool expenses part of a Christmas present.
Like, for instance, for basketball this year. Merry Christmas.
Exactly. Like, and I know we've mentioned this in a past episode, but it bears mentioning again. If you have an educational trip planned for your kids at some point in the spring, give it to them for Christmas. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, that is a big expense, and it's also a big gift. And so they have that to look forward to, but it's something that can be part of the excitement of Christmas and yeah, or a birthday or whatever, you know. But it's okay to use some of these educational things as part of a gift for something else. I do it about every year. And my kids like it. This has been the first installment of our homeschooling budgeting series. Check back again in a few weeks, and we will have the next installment up for that. Homeschooling can be so expensive, but it really doesn't have to be. Budgeting is the biggest key to success here. Until next time.
Thanks for listening today. This has been the Wife Style Hustle podcast. That's WIFE style. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter so you never miss an episode.
Consider liking and reviewing our podcast wherever you listen. Share it with a friend. It really helps us out. Look for our new episodes every Monday and Wednesday. We'll see you soon.